they don't believe what's being taught, or two, they feel like the Bible is just a rule book, and they feel like it might be a very bad life of just do this and do that with nothing else in the middle. So that got me thinking. When someone leaves the Christian lifestyle, they enter the earthly lifestyle. And so I'm going to be comparing the two to see which one is better. I'm going to be asking the same three questions to both the earthly and Christian lifestyle. Let's start off with the Christian lifestyle. The first question is, how do you enter the Christian lifestyle? Well, in Acts 2:38, it states, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So in order to enter the Christian lifestyle, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, once you are baptized, what do you need to do? Now, let's head over to Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, this doesn't specifically say that we need to do certain actions, but it says that whatever we do, we need to be thankful for God and use whatever he's given us in order to help the church grow. Now, in Matthew 28:19-20, it does say something that we need to do. It says to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We need to go out and we need to share the gospel to those who don't know it. And for those who do know about it and aren't in the Christian lifestyle, we need to give them the details they need to know in order to enter it. Now, what do you gain from the Christian lifestyle? Now, just like the verse that Noah just read, Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, if we do everything that the Bible says, then we will have eternal life with Christ in heaven. Now, let's ask those same three questions about the earthly lifestyle. One, how do you enter it? Well, for this, I am saying that the earthly lifestyle is just anyone who's not in the Christian lifestyle. So you can't really enter it unless you're coming from the Christian lifestyle into the earthly lifestyle by not following the Bible. Now, what do you need to do when you're in the earthly lifestyle? Now, you can do basically just a lot of different things, basically. You don't have something that's just telling you how to live and to just how to live. So what do you gain? There are a few things that you gain, but I just decided to choose just one. Freedom from religion. You don't have to choose just one religion. You don't have to do just one thing. So, in other words, you would think that they're both okay, or the Christian lifestyle is really good, and the earthly lifestyle is okay. But the earthly lifestyle has negatives that the Christian lifestyle does not. The earthly lifestyle has two negatives that I'm going to point out. One negative is that everything will not last forever. You are going to eventually, unfortunately, die, and everything that you've worked towards for your entire life will no longer be in your possession. And the second negative thing about the earthly lifestyle is that you will not have everlasting life in heaven with Christ. Now, based off of what I've just told you, that I've chosen that I will choose the Christian lifestyle. But which will you choose?
We will be singing number 977, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," first and third verses. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land, the battle belongs to the Lord. No weapons that fashion against us will stand, the battle
number 680, "There's Not a Friend." We will be singing the first and third verses only.
There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus, no, not one, no.
She will guide till the day is done.
number 572, Send the Light, first and fourth verses only.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light. Send the light, let the gospel light, let it shine, from shore to shore.
The scripture reading for Justin's lesson will be from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
See, good evening. It's good to see everyone out this evening. First off, starting out, I'd like to thank the elders for giving us young men the opportunity to be able to speak and sing and lead prayers. Hope it's as encouraging to all of you as it is to us, and helps you grow as much as it helps us to grow. I didn't know exactly what Whit was going to be talking about today, but our lessons kind of fall line in line. He talked about the Christian lifestyle. Mine's going to be more like the Christian role, or our role as Christians. A lot of you know me, a lot of you don't. I moved down here about 7 months ago from Tennessee. Cody had a working in that, and so far I've enjoyed every minute of it. Getting to know all of you and being a part of this congregation has been an immense blessing in my life and has helped me grow so much. Hope that I've helped you grow as much as you have me. Our lesson today, talking about the Christian role, a lot of you know me, a lot of you don't. I've, in past years, I've been involved in theater, musical theater, different plays and productions. But I was thinking, you know, we always hear the Christian lifestyle. We compare it to sports or athletics and all of these different things that we can parallel our Christian lives with. But personally, I've never heard about how you can parallel your Christian life as theater. And since theater is something that I'm involved in and I'm kind of passionate about, I was like, how can I relate this in a way that others can understand it? And what is something that I can use in my life that I can spread the gospel? So I was like, theater. You're thinking, how can I relate theater to the church? Well, in theater, you're given a role, you go and audition, of course. We don't have to audition to be Christians. That's a free gift extended to all. But our role as a Christian in the verse that Landon just read for us, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. See, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. One of our roles or our duties as a Christian is to be an example. To be an example to other Christians. To be an example to those who are in the world. But being that example and showing that to others, it's not for our glory, as you know, many actors, they do acting to become more famous and to bring more attention to themselves. That's not our role as a Christian. That's not our, it shouldn't be our goal. Our goal is to bring glory to God. So our first example, or our first duty and our first, let's see, our first privilege is to be examples to others. Our next job, or privilege, our next opportunity, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. Whit used this. I was like, using good verses. They overlap. But Matthew 28, 19 and 20. See. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As Christians, we're to be an example, but not only are we supposed to be that example, we're also supposed to go into all the nations and be teaching them. What are we to be teaching them? We're supposed to be teaching them the gospel. And we're also to be teaching them the things that Jesus has commanded. So first we're going to be teaching them the gospel so that they can become Christians. And then we're going to be teaching them the things that Jesus has taught us so that they can fulfill their role and their responsibility as Christians. Let's see, our next scripture is Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, which Whit has also hit on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. See, our role as Christians, see, we're, like Will said, we're not always given specific tasks that we should be doing this or we should be doing that. But in everything that we are doing, we are to be living a Christian life. When we're at work, we're supposed to be behaving and serving as a Christian. When we're at school, behaving, serving as a Christian. Our Christian role is not limited to inside the church building or inside Christian events or only limited to when we're around Christians. Our role as a Christian should be in all aspects of our life. But what does that look like, being in the role of a Christian? In theater, we're given this role, and then we have a set amount of time. For some productions, it's weeks. For some productions, it's months. And bigger things, it's years. And you have all this time to practice and devote, and you're preparing for the show that you've been given a part in. As Christians, God has given us a part in this place called life. What are we doing to become better at that part? As an actor, you're given your script, you go to rehearsals, you do choreography if you're in a musical, and you do that over the next course of weeks, months, and you slowly develop and get better, and you finally get ready for that show. But say you have an actor who, they're there for the fun, but they're not really putting in a whole lot. You know, someone who is not putting in time learning their lines at home, they come up to rehearsals and we're supposed to be off book or off script, and that person is limiting everybody else who is in that show because they have not put in their work. as Christians, are we putting in our work, or are we limiting ourselves or limiting others? Are we putting in the time, the devotion, the study, the effort? If you would, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. See, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself shouldn't become disqualified. Here Paul is giving an example of running a race. See, a person who usually runs a race is running it to win. What do? They condition their body, they practice, they run so that they can strive to win that prize. As a Christian, we are striving, we're running, we're pushing to obtain that imperishable crown that Paul talks about. In theater, we are rehearsing and practicing so that we can get to that final show or opening night so that we can share with our audience. But it says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, and they do it to obtain. Usually you don't have a person run a race who they're not at least trying to strive for something. As Christians, are we running the Christian race? Are we pushing and striving for heaven? Or are we half-heartedly just kind of walking along and not really putting much effort or much commitment towards that? If you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. So, in theater, as an actor, you take your lines and you go and practice them at home so that when you get to rehearsals and you get as closer to shows, that you'll have them ingrained in your mind. You focus on this character study so that once you get to those show dates, you will have envelop that character, and that character kind of becomes a part of you. You learn those lines and that character so much that it's almost hard not to see. It's always dwelling in your mind. As a Christian, are we meditating on the scriptures? Are we meditating on godly things? Are we taking heed to yourself and to the doctrine? Are we continuing in them daily and devoting ourselves entirely to them? As a Christian, our role has to be entirely devoted. If you get an actor who is not entirely devoted to their character, you're not going to have a very good show, and you're not going to have a very good character. The people in the show are not going to have a very good experience, both the actor and the people around them. So it takes devotion. It takes devoting yourself entirely. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23, a very commonly known verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So there's going to be many people in that day that said, but we were for you, Lord. We prophesied in your name. We did this. We did that. But if they're not entirely devoting themselves to that Christian role and being really serious about their Christian role, then it's not going to profit them any. Jesus is going to say, depart. I don't know you. You didn't follow my command. You weren't devoted entirely. Let's see. So our devotion and our seriousness and our commitment to being a Christian is extremely important in making sure that we are devoting ourselves in all aspects and in all entirety of our lives. But you may think, I'm not as good at this as somebody else is, so I can't devote myself entirely to that aspect because I'm not a very good speaker or I'm not a very good song leader. If you would turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 3. Romans chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 3. In theater, if any of you have ever gone to watch a show, you know, you get there and you're waiting in the dark and then the lights pop up, you get the music, the sound, and then the actors come on stage. And, you know, you're watching the show and you see the actors and you see the people doing the choreography and all of these various things. There's a lot of people in a show, but what you don't see are a lot of the people who are behind the scenes. You don't see the costumer, you don't see the director, you don't see the choreographer who has put in this work, this time. They're not really getting a whole lot of credit because people don't see them, or they're not in the forefront of their mind. There are many people in the church who they may not be able to speak, they may not be able to lead singing, but they're able to do other things. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." As Christians, we're all dealt a measure of faith. It's up to us to determine how we use that measure. Continuing on, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. In proportion to our faith or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." We're not all given the same roles. We're not all going to be equally great at certain things. I'm certainly not as good of a song leader as Joel is. I may not be as good of a good speaker as Cody or Will or Alan or Robert. But each of us have a different role that we can play, and we should each be devoting ourselves fully to those roles and striving and using each of our talents and gifts as much as we can. That's in theater. I'm not the best dancer. I can do a little bit, but there are several other people who have been practicing that for years who are going to be much more able and much better at that than I would be. So we're not supposed to be disappointed or discouraged when we may not be as good at something as someone else is. We should be looking for our talents, our gifts, and putting those into use. If you would, please turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 17. "Brethren, join in fellowship, my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able, even to subdue all things to himself." As an actor, we are practicing, rehearsing. We are getting ready for opening night. As a Christian, what are we preparing and getting ready for? We are preparing and getting ready for heaven. That is our ultimate goal. We are striving for heaven. In verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Everything we do in this earthly body, our Christian role, we're practicing or rehearsing, not really rehearsing. We are doing everything to get to heaven, to attain that eternal reward. If you would turn to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all know that verse. That's striving to be that Christian role and to devote ourselves fully and entirely. We can strive for that. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Romans 3:23 is an example of that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've been in many shows where we get to, or we're in a show and a line gets missed. A step gets messed up. Somebody doesn't come in on their cue. That doesn't ruin the whole show. Most of the times the audience doesn't even know that there was a step missed or a line messed up. But that doesn't ruin the whole show. Even when we fall and fail as Christians, that doesn't ruin our whole walk. We have to get up. We have a God who is going to pick us right back up and say, keep going. Keep striving. Keep devoting yourself entirely. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to be there to surround us with love and encouragement. They're going to be there. Get up. We can do this together. So just because we mess up or fall short doesn't mean that that's the end of it. The show's over. You keep going and you keep striving for that reward. So we've learned we've got to be an example. We've got to be teaching. We've got to be devoting ourselves entirely and not skipping out or, you know, we've got to be meditating on the scriptures and meditating on God's word daily. Without that daily meditation, that daily practice, we're going to be kind of, we'll be partly Christian, but, you know, we're not fully developed or fully devoted to it. So it's not going to always be at the forefront of our minds. Let's see. But to be that fully devoted and to, we must be striving to get that full devotion, to be completely devoting our life in Christ. If we're not devoting ourselves completely, we are half-heartedly serving God. And as we read in Matthew chapter 7, those who half-heartedly serve God aren't going to be able to attain that reward. So, if there's anyone here tonight, if you haven't had the opportunity to be baptized or haven't made that decision yet, we would love to talk to you, encourage you. It'll be the greatest decision of your life. If you have already made that decision and have fallen away or just need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come down front as we stand and as we sing.
you haven't had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, if you could make your way to the back of the auditorium, someone will direct you to where it will be served. Our closing song will be number 68. Number 68. Let us sing.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I think this is a wonderful day you've given us, because every day, Lord, you give us is a wonderful day to serve you and worship you, Lord. And please be with all the fallen for our country, and please be with the families as they have gone through a tough time, and please watch over the sick, and please be with every Christian as they have struggles every day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.